Looking at this morning and looking at the heart of Christ. You know, these disciples were going through a lot in their lives and they had heard so many things. And honestly, I don't believe they understood the half of it. They're getting so much, and I don't like to even use the word bombarded, but in their minds, we don't blame Jesus for doing it. He's giving them exactly the right time that they needed. But in the disciples' minds, they're hearing, okay, no earthly kingdom. Okay, there's going to be death, Jesus. Okay, there's going to be the cross. You're going to leave, you're going to go, and then, you know, we've went through a lot of things in the scriptures, and most recently at the end of chapter 15, the beginning of chapter 16, then what does Jesus say? Oh, and by the way, as you go out and as I commission you go out and to bring forth fruit, you're going to be hated. And the disciples are here saying, what? You know, the world is going to hate us. And we're supposed to go out there and make disciples. We're supposed to go out there and teach them. We're supposed to go out and God, you're telling us that they're going to go out there and they're going to persecute us. They're going to hate us. They're not going to love us. They're going to, you know, they hate you. They hate us. They're going to kill us. You know, these disciples are still struggling. They're still going through a lot. And we are here in John chapter 16. And I want you to see, we're going to be looking, starting in verse 5, but I want you to see, he says, let's start with verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you. He's picking right up from chapter 15. Now, the last two verses of chapter 15, he says the Comforter is going to come and he's going to be with you. He's going to be your helper. Then in verse 1 of chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out in the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Let me stop right there just for a moment. She's just saying, you know, I'm going, you have not asked about this, and now I'm telling you that I'm going. But he said, you know what, I can tell there's sorrow in your hearts. So I just read that because I want you to understand, these disciples are still struggling. They're still going through this difficult time. And these people, the world's going to be against them. And you picture yourself as a disciple. Everything in your world is being turned upside down. And you, if all you do is just picture yourself there, you would agree. Your world is about ready to be turned upside down. Everything, you remember that these disciples gave up their lives to follow Christ. They gave up their work. They gave up their families. God, Jesus Christ had called them to leave and forsake everything to follow him. And it was like, okay, I am taking the plunge. I am making the commitment. I'm going to go and follow Christ. And now they do it. And two and a half years into it, Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. And you've got to go out and do my work. And they're going to hate you. They're going to kill you. And Jesus says, I see that you're fearful. So here we are. And now let's look at verse 7. The neverthelesses in life are very good. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, ye cannot bear them now. And we'll stop right there. Father, I need your grace and your strength right now. Absolutely. And these people need your grace and strength right now to listen. God, would you please give, as you have always done, give the grace and strength that we need so that we get what you want us to get this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So first of all, we see the tables turned upside down for these disciples. They are in a dilemma. Life to them, it's kind of where maybe you think of the bottom time of your life when you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where to go, where to turn, what to do. And that's where the disciples are at. They've heard a lot of good things, but they don't know how to comprehend all the good things. All they're focused on right now is all the bad, all the negative, and what they think. And Christ comes along here and says, listen, it's not so. It's not going to be all bad. In fact, I'm doing good. Nevertheless, I need to do this. Let me ask you a question. Was it important that Jesus Christ leave them? What did he have to go do? He had to go to the cross. And he had to go. He needs to be up there at the right hand of his Father right now for us. But these disciples did not understand all that. They were in a situation. So we see the tables turned upside down in their lives. Everybody, everything is against us. Here's the disciples. Everybody's against us. But the Comforter. Nevertheless, the Comforter. He says, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Who was the Comforter? Let's look at some scripture back just in John, just in the last couple chapters. Go to chapter 14 and verse 17. John chapter 14 and verse 17. The Comforter, and by the way, the Comforter is who? This is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. This is the Spirit of God, okay? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's the Comforter. He is our Paraclete. He's our the person that is beside us. He's our partner. He's right here with me. That's the Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. Now you're in John chapter 14 and verse 17. And he is referred to as what within the first five words? Even the, everybody say it together, even the Spirit of Truth. Now what do you think? The Spirit of Truth. This is the Holy Spirit. What is truth? Truth. Giving the truth. Giving the truth of who? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth. So the Holy Spirit is giving who? He's giving Jesus Christ. He's the Spirit of truth. I just wanted you to see that. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth was promised to these disciples not long after Jesus would be gone. By the way, when would the Spirit come upon these men? At the time of Pentecost, okay? Not long, 50 days later, they would be Pentecost, and then the people were waiting in the upper room, and the Spirit of God came upon these people, and the Spirit of God has been with us ever since. All of his people, his disciples, we have the Spirit of God with us. And you received him at the time of salvation. Okay? We're not getting into all that. I hope you understand that we have, inside of us, we have the Spirit of truth. He's called the Spirit of truth. Look at chapter 14, same chapter, and verse 26. What will the Spirit of truth do for us? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will send in my name, he shall, what's the next word? He shall teach. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's job, the Comforter's job, this Spirit of truth, he's the truth, and he's going to, first of all, teach us. He's going to teach us. And what else does it say? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So he's going to teach us. He's going to help us to remember. By the way, who is he teaching us of? Jesus Christ. Who are we remembering? Jesus Christ and his words, all that he did, whatsoever I have said unto you. Go to John chapter 15. Just laying down the premise of who the Holy Spirit is. I want you to understand who the Holy Spirit is. He's the Spirit of truth. It is our teacher. He's going to cause us to remember. Chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the, what's he called again? Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify. So thirdly, we see he is going to teach. He's going to remember. He's going to call us to remembrance, and he's going to testify again of who? Jesus Christ. Okay, he's going to testify of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was referred to in John chapter 1 as the Word. Okay, the Word. So the Spirit of truth is going to testify, teach, remember of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Okay, keep that in mind. And now look at John chapter 16 and verse 13. We're jumping ahead now just a little bit, just wanting to lay down the foundation of who the Holy Spirit is in the Gospel of John. John chapter 16 and verse 13, again, a third time, he is referred to as the Spirit of truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, what's the next thing he does? Guide you into all truth. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ. And then, of course, from Jesus Christ, we have his Word. Okay? We have Jesus Christ, who was the truth. Now we have Jesus Christ, who is the written Word. We have the written Word with us. And the Spirit of truth has come. He's going to guide us into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And then, lastly, he will show you things to come. That is the future. So here we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit that is testifying, that is teaching, that is causing us to remember and guiding us, leading us, and going to teach us and show us the things to come. And the Holy Spirit has been given to God's people. Jesus Christ has left, but we still have the truth, don't we? And we have the truth. You know, it's amazing. In the Gospels, we have the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, right? And I'll tell you, friends, when we read the Gospel, who speaks? The Spirit of truth is showing us who Jesus is. There he is. There's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to teach us about Jesus Christ. In the epistles, what do we have in the epistles? Here we have the Holy Spirit giving us the truth of the Christian life. This is the life through Christ, in Christ. Holy Spirit still using the Word of God to teach us of Christ and how we ought to live. We have the Gospels, we have the epistles, and then in the end we have the book of Revelation, which gives us the truth of the future. Folks, the whole New Testament is given to us as the body of truth. Now, we have the Old Testament as well. I'm not saying that the Old Testament is not the truth, but the Holy Spirit has come and he has given us the truth. He's given us Jesus Christ. He's testifying, guiding, teaching us, causing us to remember about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit does that in a church through the written Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's God. God is using, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to teach us all things. And so we have this promise that Jesus Christ tells them that he is going to give the disciples. Now, this is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth testifying and telling us who Jesus is. His job is to give us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was to give us the Father, and the Spirit is to give us the life of Jesus Christ. What a tandem working together. I want us to see here the Comforter's job with the world. Now, we look at these verses in chapter 16. He says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send. If I don't go, you can't have the Comforter, but I'm going to go so that you have the Comforter. I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he is come, and he would come to the disciples. This is going to be very near in the future. When he's come, he's going to come here very soon. He's going to come soon. Pentecost, he's going to come. When he comes, what would happen? He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And then in the next three verses gives us a little bit of a commentary on what each of those three is. Very important that we understand what these three are. But we have to start with this job of looking at what the word reprove means. We see here in verse 8, he will reprove. Reprove who? The world. Now, important you understand that as well. Now, I want to ask you, as we are just starting, giving you a little background, to be very careful to pay attention to everything that's given here. Okay? And be very careful that as we get things, you're going to have to keep along all the chain of thoughts that are going to be given here. Who are the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth. He testifies of who? Jesus Christ. And he uses what? the Word of God, okay? Understand that. Now, we look at his job. We look at, first of all, we see that his job in the world is to reprove. Let's look at this word, reprove. The word reprove is a legal word, like in a court setting. To reprove, what do we think of? And by the way, we use the word convict a lot, and it does mean to convict. What is some of the ways we use the word convict or conviction? Even in church, some of us, we would say, I was convicted about something. And although that is a part of what the word is, convicted, this word is not a word that is just a casual, oh, I felt bad about something this morning in church, and I realized that I probably should get rid of it. And so I'm going to go home, and we're going to see how I'm going to do this week. Folks, that's not the word convict. We'll look at what it really means to convict in here just a moment. But the word convict, sometimes we say we have a conviction about something. That means we think that we got to stand strong in this. And we would even be willing to die for it. Well, that's really not what the word is saying here. This word convict, again, this is a legal term used in the court setting. It does mean to convict. To reprove is to convict. But it's to indict by evidence. Keep in mind three words. To prosecute. You know, in a court setting, there's a prosecutor. You're wrong. It's to prosecute. It's to prove guilty. Then there's the judge, right? The judge. To prosecute, to prove guilty. And it is the prosecutor, the judge, and also the executioner. This word that's used here is a done word. It's like, listen, this is not something that you just feel bad about, and I've got to give you a few words. This is all three in one. This is, here's the evidence, and you're found guilty, and here's the conviction all in the whole end, and this is what you deserve. This is the word that's used here. This is a very strong word that is here. This is not something that the world is going to feel bad about this, or the world is just going to get a little bit more knowledge of this. No, God is coming down hard with saying the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to convict the world. He is going to prosecute them. He's going to prove them as guilty, and he's going to execute them all in one. There is going to be this person in the world found guilty, and it's the final and done verdict. Again, it's not I feel bad about, or I was convicted about, or I have a conviction about. No, this is, I'm toast. Here's the end of everything. The word convict. The Holy Spirit is coming to say the truth about sin, to say the truth about righteousness, to say the truth about judgment. Folks, I want to tell you something. As we go through this, there's going to be a harsh, harsh word that comes to the world. But understand, and as I even give it, always in love. But it's a tough word, and it's a tougher word than what we even think. God's going to send the Holy Spirit to come and convict the world. He's not coming just to convince them of the truth. He's not coming to just remind them. He's not coming to knock on their door and say, you might consider something else. No, the Holy Spirit is to come and point finger in the face and go to that person and say, you, right here, you are guilty of sin. You who are here, you're guilty of not following righteousness. You are guilty of eternal damnation in hell, judgment. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And what does he use to convict the world? He uses his word. He uses his word. So God will and has pronounced already the world is guilty through the Spirit of truth and his word. You know what? It's always been that way. You go back to the prophets in the Old Testament. What was the message of the prophets? Repent. But you know what? Those prophets pointed the finger and they said, Ahab, you're wrong. Right? You're wrong. And this is what God said. And you didn't do it. And here's the penalty for it. That's what the prophets in the Old Testament said. Now let me ask you a question. Were the Old Testament prophets pretty harsh? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Keep that in mind. You know, it wasn't just with the Old Testament prophets. What about the person of John the Baptist? Did John the Baptist do a little bit of convicting? When I say convicting, did he come and have a pretty harsh statement to the world? Yeah. What did he tell them? You remember when he went in, and was it of, who was it, of Herod? that he looked at him and he was, you know, committing, you know, that incest. Was it Herod? I should have wrote that down. But he looked at him right in the face and said, listen, you're guilty. That was the prophets. That was John the Baptist. You think of anybody else in the New Testament that did that? What about the person of Jesus Christ? You're guilty. And I'll tell you what, Jesus did it with love, but he pointed a finger right at them and said, you are wrong. Here is what's right, and this is going to be the penalty of it. Jesus Christ was a giver of truth in that way as well. And then it would be the apostles and to us now. And this is what is done through the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Understand that. Now, the tables for these disciples have been turned upside down. And on one side, here are these scared disciples over here, and Jesus is saying, I want you to go and minister to them. By the way, they're going to kill you. And now Jesus, what is Jesus telling them? I want you to see the tables are really turned in this passage right here, because Jesus said, you know what? They are going to kill you. And by the way, they were killed. 10 of the 11 here were persecuted and killed because they testified, because they went out to bear fruit. They were. It happened. How in the world did they get the power to do it? Well, they had the Holy Spirit with them. And here Jesus is saying, I'm going to turn the tables on these people. And over here, all of these people over here, listen, he said, you just go about what you go about my business, but I am going to turn the tables on these people, and I am going to come and I'm going to convict these people. I'm going to convict them. I am going to prosecute them. I'm going to judge them. And I am going to execute them. That's what he's saying here. It's pretty harsh words. The tables turned. So there's the hate, this persecution that they're scared of. And now the world will be convicted, prosecuted, judged, and executed. This was to be a comfort to the disciples. But I want us to look at this just a little bit deeper. What is the Holy Spirit going to convict them about? We see that it is sin, righteousness, and judgment. But let me ask you the question, whose sin, righteousness, and judgment is he referring to? Now it's important in keeping this in mind as we go through this. Whose sin? Man's. He calls it here the world's, right? The world's sin. Whose righteousness? This is key. It's going to be based on Jesus' righteousness, but whose sin, whose righteousness is he going to convict them of? Their own. Their own sin, their own righteousness, and their own judgment. It's all three. It's the world's sin, the world's righteousness, and the world's judgment. You look at the language used here, it all goes back to the world's. These three things, it's the world's. Okay? Let's look at this. Reprove the world of their sin. First one, we look at verse 9, of sin. Now he's going to tell us, what does he mean? He's going to reprove the world. He's going to convict. He's going to prosecute, judge, and execute them for their sin. Of sin, he says in verse 9, because they believe not on me. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is here to prosecute. He's going to judge them, and he's going to sentence the world of their sin. And what was their sin? Says here in verse 9, everybody follow, of sin because they believe not. There's the sin. This passage is not talking about the Holy Spirit coming and individually just convicting the world of the sin. Boy, this guy lied right here. Or this person cheated the government on their taxes. And the Holy Spirit does convict. But this is not what this passage is talking about. He has come to convict men. He has come to convict, prosecute, judge, and execute men for what? Rejecting Jesus Christ. Rejecting Jesus Christ, because he says, because they believe not on me. It's their sin of unbelief, and it was their sin. It was the world's sin. This passage is talking about the unbeliever's sin, and it was the sin of unbelief. They would not believe Jesus Christ. Unbelief of their sin and their sin of unbelief would destroy them. Now we're going to take our Bibles and turn to a couple passages of Scripture. Let's go to John chapter 3. We're going to stay in John for the most part. We might look at a few other places, but we're mostly going to stay in John. John chapter 3, and let's look at verses 18 to 21. The sin of unbelief. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to use the Word of God to convict these people that they are wrong because they're not believing in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verses starting in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned when? Already. He's already condemned. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. Go to chapter 8. So you see that the world is condemned already because of their unbelief. Unbelief in who Jesus Christ is. John chapter 8 and verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Let me ask you a question. Why will people die and go to hell? Because they are a liar? Because they cheat? Because they steal? Why will men go to hell? Because they don't believe. And who sends them there? It's a trick question. Themselves. They choose not to believe. You ever thought about that? The reason why men go to hell is because they reject Jesus Christ. You say, what if they don't hear the gospel? Every person that goes to hell rejected Jesus Christ. He said no to it. God showed himself to them, and they rejected it. They said no to God. Nobody goes to hell just because they simply were ignorant or naive. No, they rejected Christ. We see that here. They rejected Christ. They deserve that. I praise the Lord that he showed himself to me. He gave himself. He showed his love to me that I would accept. I didn't do any good thing, but he did the good work. Praise the Lord that I accepted. We have John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. A couple more chapters. See this. John 12, 47 to 48. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and received not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. His word would judge him. They would choose, and they would be condemned for the sin of unbelief. Folks, listen to this. The world needs to understand that it is a sin not to believe in Christ. When you go and knock on a door and they don't testify they believe in Christ, it's a sin. And people need to hear that. I feel that we go to doors and we knock on them, or we talk to a relative or a coworker or somebody, and we lily-liver around it, and we talk about other things, and they go to church, or they go to this, and they do this, and we ask them, and they have a quick answer, and we never confront them, are you believing in Jesus Christ? And then tell them, listen, that's a sin, and you'll go to hell for that. We're scared to do that, aren't we? I remember one time in high school, I witnessed to a person, and they were offended majorly because they heard that they were sinning and they were on their way to hell. But folks, I want to tell you something. That's the only way that men are going to get saved. It's the Holy Spirit convicting men of their sin, sin of unbelief. You're not believing in Jesus Christ. God says there's a penalty for that. We need to tell people that. It's more than just believe. It is for them personally to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the propitiation for their sins. God's wrath upon man will not be pleased until Jesus Christ's penalty was good enough for you. People need to understand that. They need to hear that. People need to see and take note. The Holy Spirit uses what? The Word of God. When we talk to a person, and folks, everybody should be talking to people about their eternal security, or their salvation. Every person ought to be somebody that witnesses. If you're not witnessing, then you are in sin as well. We are sinning when we don't tell people about Jesus Christ. As you talk, whether it's at a table for lunch with your relatives, or whether you're knocking on the door of somebody that you have no clue, we need to make sure that they see from where the Holy Spirit. Listen. How is the world going to be convinced or convicted? How? Whose job is it? Is it ours? No, it's not my job. Whose job is it to convict these people? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses what? He uses the Word of God. Folks, we need to go to the Word of God. And when we go to the Word of God, we can be sure, listen to this, we can be sure that the Holy Spirit will do His work and they will be convicted. You can mark it down. Count on it. God's Word through the Holy Spirit is going to convict men of their sin. Folks, I want to tell you something. When I go to the door, that's a blessing. But I'll tell you what it tells me that I need to do. I need to not give my own words. I need to give God's Word. As we give God's Word, He is going to convict them. You say, well, I went to that person, I knocked on the door, and they rejected. They weren't convicted. I want to tell you, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says they were convicted. Do you realize how potent God's Word is? There's conviction. It is worth it. You say, I went soul winning yesterday, and I opened my Bible. I got to talk, and I gave them a track, and they looked at this. I gave them that, but boy, it didn't do anything. No, it did do something. The Holy Spirit convicted their heart. And if they didn't do anything about it, it's because they rejected it. And they'll go to hell because of it. You say, preacher, you're being pretty strong on this. I'm being strong on it because God's Word is strong on it. And I think that we're living in a day that is lily-livering, walking through the tulips, giving the gospel out in such a simple, you know, and kind way that we don't want to offend anybody, and that is not God's Word. He was clear. He was pointed. He said, listen, you're going to die in your sins. And it's the sin of unbelief that we need to share with people. But folks, you can mark it down. The Holy Spirit is going to do His work. It's so important that we give them the Word so the Holy Spirit can do His work. We don't want to, you know, today, we talk about God's love for the world, but we need to remember that the Holy Spirit has come to prosecute, judge, execute those who do not repent from the sin of unbelief. And we need to tell them that with boldness and love. Boldness and love. Folks, I don't know who you're witnessing to. They need to hear the Word of God. And how dare preachers get into the pulpit and they will not preach against sin. They will not preach against the sin of unbelief. You might be out here this morning, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, it's a sin and you will die and you'll go to hell. And the Holy Spirit has come to share that with us. We give the Word with boldness and the Spirit will do His work. And folks, it's not our job to go to people and to do this. Whose job is that? This is the Holy Spirit's job and He does a good job at it. What do you think? Have you ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit? He does a good job. I don't need to do it. See, I can go in love. But we need to boldly give the truth. Give the truth. I want you to see the second job that the Holy Spirit does. So He is going to convict. He is going to convict the world. He's going to prosecute the world. He's going to judge the world. He's going to execute the world because of their sin. The sin of unbelief. Second of all, we see that He is going to reprove the world of righteousness. And verse 10 gives us a little bit of a clue what that righteousness is. He said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. You say, that phrase really boggles my mind. It did me too. What does it mean? He goes to his Father, and you're not going to see me anymore. What does that have to do with righteousness? Now, whose righteousness is this? This is the world's righteousness. And Jesus says He's going to go to who? He's going to go to the Father. How would He go to the Father? I can't go to the Father. How come I can't go to the Father? What's the problem with me that I can't go to the Father? What do I have in my life? I've got sin. I can't go to the Father. But He says, I'm going to go to the Father. What does that mean? He's accepted of the Father. His righteousness is good enough. His righteousness is good enough. Our righteousness, the world's righteousness was not good enough. I'm going to convict the world of their righteousness, but I'm going to the Father. What does that tell us? We need to be attached to Him. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of its righteousness. Now notice what He says about Jesus. Okay, again, I just went through that. His Father, He's accepted the Father. Jesus' righteousness is the only righteousness that is accepted by the Father. Do you realize that God's Word teaches us that the world's righteousness is not accepted by the Father? So where does that put the world's righteousness? Now He says the Holy Spirit is going to come and convict the world of His righteousness. The world's righteousness, all wrapped up in what? Their work. The world's righteousness is all wrapped up in their work. And the world has many ways in which, many answers, many ways. The world says faith in anything. The world says good deeds for people, for themselves. The world says church. The world says baptism. The world says giving. The world says family. The world says, I hope so. And God through the Holy Spirit says, turn to Isaiah chapter 57. What does God say about our righteousness? The world says it's accepted. Just believe and you can be accepted. Do good things. Do right. Raise a good family. Go to church. Put money in the offering plate. Raise a good family. Put yourself in the balance. And in the end, we hope that we'll go to heaven. But God, through His Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, teaches something different. Isaiah 57 and verse 12. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. What does he say about works? They're not going to profit you. They're not going to profit the world. Later in Isaiah 64, verse 6. I'm going to give you several scriptures here. You just turn as fast as you can, because I want you to see them. What does God's Holy Spirit say to us? Isaiah 64, 6. You know this verse probably, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'll not get into what those filthy rags are, but they're filthy rags, disgusting rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like as the wind, have taken us away. What does the Bible say our works of righteousness are? No good. The world says, our works. God's word says, no, your works will send you to hell. Titus 3:5, not by works of what? It's not by works of righteousness. You see, the world's righteousness is all wrong. Their righteousness is wrong. Their belief system is all wrong. We just saw that. Their righteousness, it's all wrong. It's not by works which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not that. It's not our righteousness. I'd ask you to turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Romans 10, 3 and 4. For they being ignorant, please pay attention to these verses. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. You see, the world, they reject God's righteousness, which was who? Who was God's righteousness? Jesus Christ. They've rejected God's righteousness and they have taken on their own righteousness of works. And that's not going to work. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9. Philippians 3, 7, 8, and 9. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. This is Paul. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Notice, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The world's righteousness is wrong. And the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of the world's own righteousness. That's what God says about those works. The Holy Spirit is going to come and convict men that their righteousness has failed them and that Jesus is the answer. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, the world's righteousness is wrong. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, period. Some more good verses. Romans 3, 21 to 26. Please listen or read for yourself. Romans 3, 21 to 26. Listen to these verses. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans 5, verses 17 to 21. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, and that's Jesus, the free gift, came upon all men to the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And lastly, let me just read this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that's me, the world. For who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And let me ask you the question, folks. How is the world going to see this? It's going to be done through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, using the preaching of the Word of God. The world needs to see, not only is their sin of unbelief sending them to hell, but the world needs to see that their righteousness is also condemning them to hell. And we need to be strong on this. We need to be strong. Man needs to hear his righteousness is worthless when it comes to being accepted of the Father, and anything less than the righteousness of Jesus Christ is going to end up burning in a lake of fire. And man needs to boldly hear this again in love. I ask you, who are you witnessing to? How are you witnessing to them? Are you making suggestions? Folks, the Holy Spirit makes no suggestions. He comes and he points his finger and he says, listen, people, you are going to die because of your unbelief, and your righteousnesses are sending you to hell. We need to give that message to the people. They need to hear that. I am convinced we need to be stronger in telling them what the Word of God says. As we give them the Word of God, as people see, wait a second, I am seeing that God says this. You don't have to convince men that this is His Word. All you do is give the Word, and the Holy Spirit is there pointing His finger and convicting them. And you can mark it down. Even if the person closes the door, even if the person says, listen, I don't want to talk to you about this again. Even if they reject and you never hear from them again, you can be marked down for sure. You can know for sure that that person was convicted inside, and they know their sin and they know they're wrong. And they will have made a choice to continue on themselves in that same path. They have rejected. They have rejected. Now the point is not in this message to look at the world and say, give it back to them, turn the tables on them for what they're doing to us. No, this message is to simply show us, folks, it's so important that we use the Word of God so the Holy Spirit can do that work. Because if they don't hear from the Holy Spirit, they won't be saved. We've got to give them His Word. We need to be preachers of righteousness. Not only me in the pulpit, not only other pastors in the pulpit, but we as Christians need to be preachers of God's truth. If your technique of sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world is just to give a bunch of facts about God's love, it's going to fall short. We need to give them the truth, Holy Spirit type truth. Lastly, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of judgment. He says in verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now you think about it. The prince of this earth is who? The devil, Satan. As folks reject Jesus, they have sided with the evil one, the devil, the prince of this world. And what does verse 11 tell us about the prince of this world? The prince of this world is, that's already, judged. They have linked that when they reject Christ, they have linked themselves with the devil automatically. Do you understand that? When people reject Christ, they link themselves with the devil. And they might not say that. They might act it. They might not even think it. But they're linked. They have rejected Christ, and so they're linked with him. And they're linked with him. Where's the devil headed? He's going to hell. And he's already judged. Judgment, yes. Their leader, master, is already lost. He's doomed for sure judgment. And by default, all who reject Christ automatically side with Satan and are carried with him to eternal damnation. The world is judged as well. 1 John 3:8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You know, Hebrews 9:27, this is ought to be something that you quote to be these people that you're witnessing to. And there is, make no doubt, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, what will come? The judgment. You can mark it down for sure. An unsaved person, there's going to be a judgment, and you will be judged. It will be judged. "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them ensamples unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from the day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. For we must all appear." That was 2 Peter 2:4-9. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Lastly, 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You know, it's not a popular thing these days to share things like this, judgment. Think about it. It's not a popular thing to judge people, to share judgment of God. You might be labeled as biased or prejudiced, but the fact is that God is a judge, and he spelled it out very clearly. Men will be judged because of their sin and unbelief. You can count on it. The Holy Spirit is convicting them of their sin of unbelief. And if a person dies and goes to hell, it's because they have wholeheartedly rejected Christ, whom the Holy Spirit has convicted them of. And we are to be preachers of righteousness, preachers of this judgment. We need to tell that they will hear so they can be delivered. And we need to be bold about it. And it's not a popular approach to soul winning. Before we close, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3. Question: did these disciples know everything that Jesus was telling them right now? What do you think? I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, they're sitting there and they're getting blasted away. You're turning to Acts chapter 3 and I'm talking while you're turning. They are there scared. The world is over here. And Jesus says, the world's going to kill you. But I want you to go and tell them about me. But the world, they're going to kill you. And then he says, you know what? But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the person that's going to be by your side. He's going to take care of those people. He's going to take care of them. And the disciples are here, you know. And I think their minds are still boggled. I really do. I don't think they got it all. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit worked in their heart through Jesus' words because they got it. How do we know that they got it? How do we know that they got it? Look at Acts chapter 3. And oh, I wish we had another 15 minutes to read this chapter. What does it tell us about Peter and his preaching to these people? You know what he preaches to them? Very simply. What does he preach? He preaches of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you know what he does? As he preaches to them, I know what's happening behind the scenes. The Holy Spirit is going like this. You know how we know? Because look at the beginning of chapter 4. Look at the beginning of chapter 4. He tells us what happens. You know what? And we could have looked at chapter 2 as well. More bold preaching. And as they spake, this is chapter 4 and verse 1, unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about how many? And let me ask you a question. What is going to be the thing that convicts men of their sin, righteousness, and judgment? It's going to be bold preaching from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to do it. You know what? You say bold preaching doesn't work. Convicting men, you know, pointing fingers. And again, it's not our finger, but the hard nose is not the way to do it. I want to tell you something. It did it. And it was because Peter was bold in telling. You know what he said? He said, who put Jesus on the cross? And what was his answer? What was his answer when he confronted them on who put Jesus on the cross? And he was talking to the Jews here. What was his answer? He said, you did it. You did it. You were the ones that denied him. You were the ones that crucified him. You were the ones that rejected that he was Christ. You were the ones that didn't believe in his righteousness. You were the ones that don't believe and you're going to be judged. You're the ones and you are going to receive that judgment and damnation. He did that and people got saved. People got saved. People, I want to tell you, as we close, that's what you read chapter 4 and you read the message that these men preached. Go to chapter 2, chapter 3, read the messages that they preached and you'll see this was a very convicting, these were convicting messages. Very convicting. But they played no games. They didn't walk through any lilies. They gave them the truth and they said, listen, this is the truth about it. Now, in our world, what do we think is going to happen to these neighbors, to these friends, these relatives? What do we think if we give them the truth? What if we tell them that they are a sinner and they're on their way to hell? What do we think they're going to do? And I'm going to turn. And you know what? And they might do it, but I'll tell you what. They are convicted with their sin. They're convicted about all three of those. But as we see, when they were bold with it, what happened? I don't ever remember a time when 5,000 people got saved on a specific day. What do you think would happen if next time we go soul winning or tomorrow when you see your neighbor, you decided to boldly, instead of just hint at maybe coming to church, what if you told them that their sin of unbelief is sending them to hell? What if you told them that their way of righteousness is sending them to hell? What if you told them that judgment was sure to come? What would happen? You say, preacher, you don't know my neighbor. You know what? I don't know your neighbor, but I do know the Holy Spirit. And I'm not telling you that they'll get saved. But I am telling you that they will be convicted. And that is the only way they will get saved. We need to be bold with the message that the Holy Spirit gives in his giving God's word. His giving God's word. And it was the disciples that did that preaching that were listening to Jesus on the night in which we were looking at. We need to do the same. Father, would you please help us? Father, would you please help us to be bold? We get scared to tell people that they're going to go to hell. We get scared to talk to them about their sin of unbelief. We get scared to talk to them about their works of righteousness. We get scared to talk to them and confront them about their judgment. We don't want to tell them those things. But Lord, if they're going to get saved, we need to tell them. It's going to be the thing that will convince people. The Holy Spirit's got to work. He is the Spirit of Truth. That's his title. God, would you help us? God, help us to be bold in giving out that truth. Lord, that we would see people saved. God, help us. God help us to be soul winners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.